So let's review. The Gemara continues to describe other details of the Kerashim and Ureis of the Mishkan we learned about on the previous daf. Our shir began with the following brayse. Tanna Rabban, Charutzim hoyu Kerashim v'chalulim hoyu Hadon. The Kerashim were chiseled out, while the Hadonim were hollowed out. Rashi explains. The bottom of the Kerashim were chiseled out a quarter amma all around and a half a amma space in the center, creating two yadas, tinins, or pegs of a half a amma by a quarter amma each, in the height of one amma. Each keresh, which was 1.5 ammas wide by one amma in thickness, had two adonim. Each adon was one amma long to correspond to the thickness of the keresh and 3/4 of an amma wide, so that the two adonim corresponded to the 1.5 amma width of the keresh and one amma in height. Each adon was hollowed out a half a amma by a quarter amma to fit the yadis with a quarter amma walls all around upon which the keresh rested. This way, all the Kerashim fit snugly next to each other to form a perfect wall. The Braisa continues. V'nirin Kerashim b'lulois k'chaychavim b'rikia. Rashi explains. The Ureis consisted of 10 panels, sewn into 2 spreads of 5 panels each. Each spread had 50 loops made of tcheles blue wool, sewn on the inner edge, which were connected by gold hooks. These gold hooks, against the backdrop of the blue loops, glittered like stars in the sky. The Gemara next cites a braisa describing the materials of which the Ureis were made. Tanna Rabban, Ureis hatachtoinis shal tcheles, v'shal agamon, v'shal telashoni, v'shal shesh. The lower curtains were made of tcheles, royal blue wool, argamon, royal purple, telashoni, scarlet or red wool, and shesh linen. Vel yoinis shal maisa izin. The upper curtains were made of goat hair in a way that it was shotuf be'izin, washed while still on the goat, and tavim in the izin, spun while still on the goat. This took more skill than the lower curtain, as the pasuk indicates by using the term Ashanasa Liban, a son of a chachma, whose hearts inspired them with wisdom, to describe the women who made the upper curtain, and the more muted phrase Chal Isha Chachma slave, and every wise-hearted woman to describe the women who made the lower curtain. The Gemara next give some additional details of the agolas, the wagons. Amar Baya, Ben agolo la agolo kumol orach agolo. The agolas that carried the Kerashim of the Mishkan would travel in pairs, and there would be a space the size of the length of a wagon, 5 amas, in between the two wagons. Roichev agolah, the width of the main body of the wagon, was 2.5 amas, and the wheels protrude another amma and a quarter on each side, for a total of 5 amas width per wagon. The Gemara explains the length of 5 amas was needed to comfortably accommodate 3 Kerashim on their width, which was 1.5 amas, times the 3 Kerashim, which equals 4.5 amas over the length of the agolas. Rashi adds, in Botlis Sidran al Rachban, if they wanted to lay them on their width, because we learned on the previous stop that they did not actually lay them out this way, rather on their thickness, the narrow side. The width of the main body of the wagon needed to be 2.5 amas, because anything less would have been too narrow a base and would have caused the Kerashim to wobble and possibly tip over one side while being transported. The Gemara asks that if 2 wagons, 5 amas each, were next to each other with a space of the size of another wagon, 5 amas between them, the required width of Rosh Hashanah should measure 15 amas, and not the 16 amas that we know to be the halacha. The Gemara answers, Amso Yisera Havya, to have a Koi ben Levi, the Chimishtalfi Kerashim Havanakanu, there was an extra amma, a half amma at each outer edge, where a Levi who was walking behind the Agolas could run in to fix any boards that may start to slide off. Rashi points out, one might ask, the width of 2 sets of Kerashim traveling side by side totals somewhat more than 20 amas when we add a little space between them. Rashi answers, since the agolas were 10 tefachim high, the Kerashim were more than 10 tefachim above the ground, which is a makom tur. We figure the width of the Rishus Harabim at the level of the agolas. We continue. Zok the Mishnah. Chulis habar v'hasela shehen gevoyin asara v'rach ben arba. The wall around the pit, or a rock that is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, hanoitel mehen v'hanois nal gabon chayim, one who takes something from them and puts it into the Rishus Haram, or takes something from Rishus Haram and puts it on them, is chayav for haitzar achnasa. Pachas mikein pater. If the wall or rock were less than 10 tefachim high or less than 4 tefachim wide, he would be pater. The Gemara points out the fact that the Mishnah uses as an example choylis habar and not simply habar. That supports Rabbi Yochanan, who taught that bar v'chul yasa mitzdarf l'asar, when measuring the 10 tefachim necessary for Rishus HaYachid, we can combine the depth of the bar with the height of the wall around it. The Gemara also cites a braisa which explicitly states this halacha, bar v'chul yasa mitzdarf l'asar. The Gemara goes on to list 4 questions about unusual cases of transferring from one Rishus to another. First, Boyimene Rav Mordechai Mirava. Amid Brishas Harabim Gavoya Asar. V'rachav Abba. V'zark V'nachag Abav Mahu. If there is a post in a Rishas Harabim that is 10 Tfachim high and 4 Tfachim wide, qualifying as a Rishas HaYachid, and one throws something from the Rishas HaRabim onto it, is he chayev? Or perhaps he is potter, since the item had to travel in an arc through the ear space of the Rishas HaRabim above 10 Tfachim, which is a Makom Ptur. After Rava, Rav Yosef and Abaye all said that it is clear from our Mishnah that one is chayev in such a case. Rav Mordechai responded that our Mishnah might be speaking about a case where the item never went above 10 Tfachim. For example, it may be resting on a small ledge of the rock that is lower than 10 Tfachim, or may have gotten to the top of the rock by passing through a crack in the rock itself. Second, Bar Rabbi Yochanan, Kais l'b'shus harabim gavoya asara, v'ein arachav arba, u'mukuf l'karmelis, v'asar shus ha-yachid, v'zark v'nachag abav mahu. If there is a wall that is 10 Tfachim high, but not 4 Tfachim wide, and it surrounds an area to make it a shus ha-yachid, would we consider the top of the wall a shus ha-yachid as well? If the wall has the ability to make the space it surrounds into Rishas HaYachid, it should surely be considered Rishas HaYachid itself. Third, if a bar is 9 Tfachim deep, and he removed a clod of dirt from the bottom that now makes it 10 Tfachim deep, do we say Akiris Chayfetz V'asiyas Mechitza Behadi Adodi Kasu? The removal of the dirt and the making of the mechitza happened simultaneously, and we would therefore consider it as if he removed the dirt from Rishas HaYachid and he's chayev, or it has to be a Rishas HaYachid before he begins, and therefore he's potter. So too in the reverse case, where somebody threw dirt into a bar that was 10 Tfachim deep, and now becomes only 9 Tfachim deep, do we consider the dirt to have been thrown into Rishas HaYachid, which it was at the outset, and he's chayev, or do we say that it simultaneously became a non-Rishas HaYachid when it became less than 10 Tfachim deep and is therefore potter? The Gemara says, Tifshit Leimididei. It would seem that another statement of Rabbi Yochanan would resolve his own question. When one throws something against the wall that is 4 amos away and it sticks to the wall at a height of less than 10 Tfachim from the ground, he's chayev, even though the item protrudes, thereby minimizing the space that it traveled to less than 4 amos. Apparently, we look at the depth before the item was thrown, and not at its new depth after it was thrown. The Gemara answers, we cannot compare the two cases. There, it does not become part of the wall because he's not planning to leave it there. Therefore, it does not minimize the distance it traveled, and he's chayev. In our case, the dirt he put into the pit becomes part of the ground because he plans on leaving it there. Therefore, the shear of 10 Tfachim is reduced, and perhaps he's potter. Finally, Bay Rava Zarg Daf V'chevetz Al Gabav V'nocha Gabi Yisaydis Mahu. What would be the halacha if one threw a board that was 4 Tfachim wide with an object on top of it onto pegs that were 10 Tfachim high, thereby creating a new Rishas HaYachid? Do we say he's potter because do we consider it a case of simultaneously coming to rest and becoming a Rishas HaYachid, which as before is questionable, or he's chayiv because the object bounces a bit when the board comes to rest on the pegs, therefore the board first became Rishas HaYachid, and then the object came to rest in it? The Gemara leaves this as a tekui unresolved.